Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Make a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent. Nope. Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody.
Top talent. Top talent.
This is my podcast. Can't sing this anymore because the words are too fast. Yeah, better start the show or I'm not going to last. Top talent.
Let's get at it.
Top talent.
That jingle, it needs another verse. My guest this week you're going to really like for sure. He's Ringo from the group The Fab Four. You're going to get to know him well. He's Eric Fidel. It's Top Talent. Oh, it's Top Talent. Yes, I am so psyched. I have contacted the Ringo from the iconic tribute band that pays tribute to the iconic Beatles. This is the Fab Four, the ultimate tribute band. I mean, there's a lot of them, but these guys are the tops of the tops of the tops. And the fact that I got him on this podcast, I'm just so psyched about it. Again, his name is Eric Fidel, multi-instrumentalist. They all are, by the way. I'm going to just get right into the podcast because I think, you know, if I give you a long introduction, we already talk about it in the podcast, and I know you got things to do. So without further ado, I'm going to take you to Eric Fidel from the group The Fab Four right here on our stage on Top Talent.
Top Talent.
All right, here we are with my Top Talent podcast, and I'm really excited about this because I'm a huge, huge, huge Beatle fan, and I'm a huge fan of tribute acts, and this particular one, we have Eric Fidel on the phone, who plays...
Hey, how you doing, Richie?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
And
to be here.
If you can tell everybody which Beatle you play the role of?
I play Sir Richard Starkey, also known as Ringo Starr.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And Ogner Rats.
But you are actually, and the rest of them, from what I'm reading, you play all kinds of instruments, right?
I try to, yeah. I mean, I can pass with pretty much all the main instruments, but I'm not great at any of them. But yeah, to answer your question, most of us can.
But don't you feel, because I play keyboards and I played drums as a kid before I played the keyboards, don't you think that the drums, I mean, if you can, not you don't have to master the drums, but if you have a feeling for drums and you have a feeling for rhythm, you can move on to other instruments.
Absolutely, because when it comes to rhythm, it's kind of something that can't be taught.
Right.
Kind of something that unfortunately, I'm never going to win a dunk contest, but I can play some drums because I have rhythm. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, let's take it from the beginning, although my brain never seems to follow in any kind of chronological order, so I'm all over the place.
Well, my brain follows nothing, so we're on the same page.
I guess musicians are like that, right? We think differently.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. Left brain.
But who was the actual founding member of this particular Fab Four?
The founding member would be Ron McNeil. He portrays John Lennon.
Okay.
And Artie Saraf, who does Paul. They started the group with Rollo, the original drummer, and Michael, who's our manager and tech director, in 1997.
Wow.
In Southern California. So yeah, they were all bright-eyed, bushy-tailed youngsters.
Uh-huh.
They were the young guys back then.
Right.
And then they brought in the young guys like me, and then all of a sudden, I'm not a young guy anymore. And it's very common for me to be the oldest guy on stage now. So it's like, what happened? Where did this time go?
So again, you and probably none of the members of the band were around when the Beatles first started out. I mean, nobody in there is in their 60s or anything.
I think there's two or three of the guys that are in the mix that were around in the later years. But
okay.
definitely not Ed Sullivan time. Please Please Me time. We're all a little too young for that.
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, I remember 1963, and I remember the Ed Sullivan show. My father was
nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah, yeah. And my father was a cop, and he said, "You're not bringing that crap into my house."
Yeah, I've heard the stories through my parents and my aunts and uncles. Same kind of stories. So
right,
yeah,
right.
That hair used to be wild, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God! And you look at the Meet the Beatles, the first album, and you look at their hair, and you go, "Oh, that's ridiculous." But my father.
And my biggest fear is when I'm, you know, in my late 60s or 70s, that we're gonna be talking like this about face tattoos or something.
But yeah, but I talk about that now.
Oh man, yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
Crazy.
What do you think's more, like when you were trying out for the band, do you think, let's put it this way, if you looked exactly like him, but you were a mediocre drummer, or you sounded exactly like him, unbelievable, the band, everybody in the band turned around when you auditioned, but you didn't look like anything like him, which do you think they would have gone for?
Well, that's the thing with this show, you got to have both.
Yeah, yeah.
In this particular show, now that's not to say that you can't be a great tribute artist. There's bands out there that do amazing jobs, and they don't dress up, they don't do the full show, the full act,
right?
You know, kind of the onstage biopic. But in our group in particular, fortunately or unfortunately, you have to have it all. Like you can look like McCartney, you can you know, sing and just break people's hearts with your voice. You can have that look, those beautiful eyebrows.
Right.
If you're right-handed, sorry, not gonna happen.
Exactly. I was going to ask you about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. See, like,
that's just part of it.
I've seen a lot of different tribute bands. In fact, I've had some tribute artists on my podcast here, and this is just me, and I don't know, call me crazy, but mm-hmm. I'm a little more liberal. If I go to see some of these other acts, they can do an interpretation, but it's okay if they don't look like them. But if I go to see a Beatles show, I want both. Do you find that with audiences?
Yeah. Yes. That's what is expected of us. It's just, yeah, just like what you said, there's the bands that do the interpretations, and it's right. Awesome. I love to see those bands.
Yeah.
But we do is we want to bring their story to the audience within a span of 90 minutes and
sure.
Do whatever we can to, I mean, we know we're not the Beatles, but just like someone, just like a composer would get his symphony together to do Bach or Beethoven, we get together and do the Lennon McCartney. So
sure. But I'll tell you, your accolades from this band are unbelievable. I mean, you're the only ones, tell me if I'm wrong or if Wikipedia is wrong, you're the only tribute band in general to win an Emmy Award, right?
As far as I know, yeah. Yeah, our PBS show that, it's 10 years old now.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're very proud of that. We got a technical Emmy, and we slap ourselves in the face to see if it's real sometimes. Because yeah, being a tribute artist and having an Emmy, that's saying something.
Now, who gets to put the award on their shelf?
Oh, that's Ron all day.
Oh,
he likes
yeah.
that kind of thing. So okay. we let him have it.
He grabbed it right away, right?
Yeah, he grabbed it and ran.
And you also headlined the International Beatle Week in Liverpool. Now you can't be a bad tribute band if you're going to represent the Beatles in Liverpool.
Oh, yeah. If you want to be an American and go to Liverpool and act like a Beatle, you better be good, because they will just like intimidate you off stage. If not, they have no problem with that.
Yeah.
No problem at all. Yeah. We did that this year, 2020. Nothing happened in 2020, 2019. And I want to say 2012. So we've been there 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, so. It says here 2004, 2008, 2011, 2019, and 2020.
There you go. You did your homework. Well, yeah, that sounds right.
I'm just trusting Wikipedia again, right? And then there was virtual International Beatle Week.
That would have been 2020.
Right.
So they kind of had some call-ins with the Zoom thing and everything. You know, the world was locked down, and that was the only way to do things. And I'm glad the technology exists, because without Zoom and whatnot, it would have been, you know, a lot more lonely
sure.
during that time.
Sure.
Because we did live streams. We did, you know, we did what we could. But yeah, it's good to be back on the road, definitely.
And it got almost 2 million views, the live stream, right? It did huge.
Yeah, a few of them. It always surprises me. Every once in a while, I'll get on YouTube and I'll find, you know, a video will pop up, and I'm like 15 million views. Oh my gosh. You know, that's more than network television at any given time.
Wait a minute. I think the decimal point's wrong on my sheet here, because it says 1.5. I got to move that over one step to the right. 15 million.
Oh, there's a few different, but not the live stream, but like some random videos on YouTube will just get that much. I don't know if it's the algorithm or whatever, but
sure.
Yeah, I like to jump in on the comments and see what's going on. See, the nice things and the not so nice things, and kind of have a laugh.
Sure. Now, when you were in Liverpool, what did that feel like? You're playing Beatles songs. You look like the Beatles. You are the Beatles for that, you know, amount of time, and you're in Liverpool. Did you play like at not in the actual Cavern Club, did you?
Yeah, we have played in the Cavern Club.
Oh my God.
We didn't this time. We definitely we went down there, spent some time down there.
Yep.
And watched the other groups. It's, you know, it's a giant Beatle party. There's a lot of bands there, a lot of artists. But yeah, it's surreal to be there. It's definitely surreal to be there. When I remember playing Imagine, not this time because Alan White, the drummer, has passed, but I played Imagine in front of him. He was the one that played it on the record.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I'm just kind of like, this is weird. But he was a great guy. Yeah. He bought me a drink and that was crazy. But yeah, he's I want to say he died last year.
Well, that's too bad. So when you guys play, if it's like Beatle Week, are there like multiple Beatle groups that come on before and after you? It's that kind of a thing? And everybody's just like cool?
Yeah, I mean, there's it's like a festival. It's kind of like there's different stages, there's different venues. And I think where we play, the Philharmonic is considered a headlining venue. But, you know, there's all-girl Beatle bands. There's guys that don't speak a lick of English that yeah, can play the songs phonetically perfectly. It's fantastic, man. If you're a Beatle fan, you got to hit that up at some point. It's definitely Mecca.
I did some Googling of the different tribute acts. I wanted to see if I could find some interesting names. Like, have you ever heard of, there's Beetlejuice. That's one of the bands. There's,
oh, that's a good one. No, yeah, but I would love to play in that band.
That's good. Because there's the better Beatles, so they've rated themselves the better Beatles.
There you go.
Okay. There's the cast of Beatlemania. Okay. There's the Fab Faux, all of the Faux Beatles, right?
That's the Letterman's old band. A bunch of those guys are the Fab Faux.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they're great. They're fantastic. They don't dress up and they don't do like the, the note for note diction and sound alike, look alike type thing, but they're really good.
Right. Oh, Rain. We've seen Rain here. Rain has been in this mm-hmm. area, the Capital Region. Yeah.
That's, I guess you could call them our competition.
Okay. I'm sorry to bring mm-hmm. that up.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
And there's the, I like this one, the Rubber Soldiers.
Oh, there you go. I like that one too.
That's a
I
good
like
one.
That one too.
And the yellow Dub Marines. Oh, no, okay, Dubs. And the Yellow Matter Custards, dripping from the dead dog's eye, I guess. Right.
Yeah, that's definitely visual. I like that one.
Yeah. What era of the Beatles music do you particularly like the best? I mean, do you really like the "I Want to Hold Your Hand" era, or do you more like the "Sergeant Pepper"?
I like it all. Yeah. I like it all, but I'm also a glutton for punishment, and I like to get sad and listen to like the end.
Okay,
like, literally the end. You know, the end. Yeah. That the kind of, what do you want to call it, a melody, I guess. And knowing, I mean, that it's so triumphant, it's so fantastic. All those songs all together, and just knowing that's the literal end, and that would be the last time they all, you know, would put something out together.
That's right.
And
yeah. How did
you know, like, it's kind of sad, but it's happy at the same time. But it's kind of like what I like to listen to.
Sure. You must have gone nuts with the documentary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all did, man. We, you know, we do this stuff on a nightly basis. So aspects of it could absolutely get old. But I kid you not when I tell you that we are the biggest fans.
Oh, sure.
Just as much as the people that we're playing for. We're fans. We're fans before we're entertainers. Because if we weren't, I don't think we could bring you the show that we do. Yeah, no, absolutely. Just you know, because like I said before, some aspects of traveling and the grind can get old.
Sure.
But just knowing that the people out there, whether it's, you know, 80-year-old people that remember the Ed Sullivan Show, and then there's 3- and 4-year-olds. My son is 3 years old, and he knows every single lyric,
isn't
almost
amazing?
Every single song.
That's,
it's crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He definitely gave me a little bit of a pep in my step again when he started to realize who the Beatles were, what they were, and just the joy he gets out of that music and just watching them and watching us. And now he's starting to kind of understand the concept of what Daddy does and what Uncle Artie and Uncle Ron and Uncle Gavin do on stage.
Yeah.
We're not the Beatles.
Right.
But we, you know, we respectfully portray them on stage, and just to kind of see the realization in his eyes, it's fantastic. So,
and I don't know if it's just the promotional arm of the remaining Beatles that keeps their name out there, or just the general interest. But like you say, you go on YouTube, there's stuff all over the place all the time, And McCartney is always putting things up there. And and Ringo, right? I mean, they just
love it. They don't know anything else.
No.
And that nothing like that's going to happen again. It's a different world. It's a different industry. It's a different time.
Right.
And it just can't be replicated. It happened once and it's not going to happen again. It's just insane.
It's definitely true. You know what always cracks me up as far as the drumming portion of the band? The Washington Coliseum concert with Ringo on that cheap round stand and they're facing the wrong way. That is one of the funniest things.
I have always wanted to recreate that, just to get a thing that doesn't move well and have some stagehands come up and try to move it around and be like, I don't know what's happening.
Yes. I have that in my notes. Up.
That in a second. I would absolutely do that in a second.
I exactly wrote that. Why don't you do an experiment? Do that exact thing. Try to recreate that concert with the same amount of screaming people where they didn't hear each other. They couldn't even hear each other.
And what's funny is there'd be a lot of people that knew exactly what we were doing. Of course, most would probably be like, okay, what's going on? Uh-oh, the drum riser isn't...
right.
There'd be those people that are like, okay. Because we did kind of like, you saw the Get Back documentary, right?
Yes.
We did some of those skits on stage one time, like where we stopped mid-song and Yoko wants to intervene and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, great. That's
a lot of people that are like, what are they doing? But we wanted to cater to the real Beatle fans.
Right. So. Unless if you're going to do the whole concert, was, let's say, a whole half hour is going to be the Washington Coliseum. I mean, if you explained it up front and then, explain what you're doing, this is exactly what happened. I think
so. We recreated the first Japanese concert in Japan.
Oh, okay.
And there was I'm not sure exactly what he was in Japan, but the person that introduced them, some kind of media presence. I don't know if he was a radio host or what he was, but his son introduced us the same way. So we created the whole thing. It was fantastic.
Now, you're coming to Albany here at the place called the Egg. I don't know. I think you guys have been to Albany before.
I love that venue. It's great.
Oh, you've been to the Egg before. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that one is, we're doing, I don't know if you saw, we're doing, the entire Rubber Soul album.
That's right. That's right. It's this Friday.
We've been doing that on,
September 29th at 8 p.m.
But I don't know off the top of my head if that one, because we're still doing the regular show too. But I can't remember if Egg is Rubber Soul or not.
Yeah, it does. It says performing the Rubber Soul album. So cool. How many complete albums by the Beatles have you done?
I mean, at some point we've done them all.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. At some point we've done them all. Like, This year, it's not an actual album per se, but we did the number ones, hits, from start to end in chronological order. And then the year before that, we did all of Sgt. Pepper, and that was fantastic. That was quite a feat. We couldn't really do that with multiple casts because not everyone can play this stuff. So that's kind of a specialty thing that we did, but we all put our heads together and got Rubber Soul together so we can get that going on the road.
But
that's been really fun.
Sgt. Pepper, you had to really concentrate on the costumes as well, right? I mean, that took a lot.
Yeah, I think that is just as important as the music for what we do on stage. Because if you let's just say sometimes tribute acts don't have the best reputation, probably because of all the Elvises out there and the weird, the weird Vegas stuff that can happen sometimes, and just people just slapping a ratty wig on and
right.
singing to a karaoke track and there's a time and place for that, but we just really we realize we're not the Beatles and we respect those guys and what they did and the music, and we just want to make sure we do it with the utmost respect that we can.
And from a technical aspect, you don't use tracks at all. You guys are playing all live instruments all the time?
Absolutely.
Wow. Yep.
All live. That's everything amazing. Is us four on stage.
And for you keyboardists out there, I was also reading that the keyboards there have the exact samples of some of the exact sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah.
It sounds exactly like it. I guess you'd have to do that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You'd never be able to find the exact sound and try to replicate that, but to go back to like the 60s sound.
Yeah, we get as close as we can with that kind of stuff. But sure. Yeah, one of the biggest compliments we get sometimes is those guys are playing to tracks. Those guys aren't doing it.
Wow.
Those guys are playing to
tracks.
Yep,
that's a compliment.
You're listening to Top Talent. You're a very smart person. We'll be back in a moment.
There's no sponsor for the show, and that's okay with me. I must be crazy because I do this thing for free. All I ask is that you like and subscribe to Top Talent. Please.
And now back to the show. I also remember way back then being a kid in the 60s that we used to listen to Ringo's drumming and go, that's not that good. And I find that today people revere his drumming. It's been a complete turnaround because you realize it's not that he wasn't that good. He was there to just complement the other instruments, not take over, like be like, Cream's drummer or Led Zeppelin's drummer. You know, he knew his place. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I absolutely do agree with that. He's not a showman.
Right.
He's not technical, but put four other drummers that have never heard the tune come together without the drums in there. See what they come up with.
That's
see if
right.
It's anything close to what Ringo does.
That's right.
Because it's iconic.
Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you to learn? Like, that really wasn't your style when you started playing drums, maybe, right? I mean, were you a completely different style?
To tell you the truth, I didn't really have a style. I didn't grow up like as a drummer per se.
Okay.
I could play. I could just kind of jump on it and play. I was a punk rocker. I am a punk rocker. And so I can get on there and bash and do some simple stuff. But I actually really sat down and locked myself in a room and learned how to play drums like Ringo.
Hmm.
Because my first drumming gig. So the guys that had that had the band before over in Sacramento, where I'm from, they own a music shop, right? So these guys had a Beatle band. They weren't dressing up at the time. And they're like, "Hey, Eric, can you play drums?" So I'm just like, kind of. You want to try being Ringo? And I was like, absolutely. So being a lifelong Beatle fan, you know, I did it. And apparently it's paid off.
Amazing. But part of that would be to have your drums sound like his drums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did your drums in the beginning sound anything like it? Like if you're going to play Come Together, I can hear that sound in my head right now. You know, the tom-toms. It's got to be right.
On stage now, I used to, because I saw that he used to put the tea towels on his drums. I did that.
Right.
And we do that on stage as well, because there's definitely a difference between those toms on, like, say, what kicks off She Loves You, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
To what you were just talking about, that little roll after the hi-hat when he plays Come Together. Different tone. We were just talking about tone. They're giving me crap about tone. So I'm working on my tone. Don't worry about it.
You're still, to this day, they want it perfect, right?
Oh yeah, we've never had a perfect show.
No,
we're not very complacent. We're happy with what we do most of the time, but after every show, we could have thousands of people out there on their feet. Some of them in tears because they were.
It's the memory.
Such awe what we just did in the memory and the nostalgia. And then we're back there just like yelling at each other, like, "You didn't do this, blah, 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 blah."
Right.
So, we got to keep each other on our toes.
Sure. And doing a lot of I love to read about the Beatles. And one thing about Lennon and McCartney, and I think this put a lot of pressure on Ringo, is that they never wanted any two songs to sound the same as far as the instrumentation, even the drumming, right? I mean, Ringo couldn't have been complacent about playing the same way, you know, with the same part of the kit every single song. So there was a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah. I think again, complacency is another key word of, what their legacy is all about. They just kept pushing it. And then, competition with other bands like the Beach Boys and the Stones just kept them going.
Sure.
What a time that was. The mid to late 60s, man.
Oh, yeah, and how they really respected each other, but they were competing against each other with Brian Wilson and Lennon and McCartney. That was was an unspoken rival, right? Rivalry.
Absolutely.
Rivalry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How do you prepare for a performance? I mean, are you at a point right now where you can just kind of walk in and play, or do you guys do a lot of practicing?
Yeah, we can definitely wake up and within 5 minutes get on stage and play if we have to.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I have reoccurring nightmares where that happens. But, but you know, thousands and thousands of shows in, we're still playing the Beatles on our loudspeaker in the back. We're still giving each other feedback. Eric, why don't you do this? Hey, Artie, why don't you do this? Ron, why on this line for this when you say this? Blah 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 blah. Uh-huh. And then when someone messes up after after the show, you know, we jump in the van or whatever we have, and we're, you know, we're all yelling at each other for what we did wrong, and hopefully we can rectify that by the next performance.
Is it to the point where you guys are really honest with each other? Like,
absolutely.
If you're sitting back there and going, you know, you didn't really sound like John Lennon last night.
I'll tell you what, if you can't take criticism, mm-hmm, and feedback, you're not going to make it long in our cast. That's for sure.
Yeah, but then again, it's the Beatles broke up because of that, right?
Questionably. There, you know, there's other things than feedback and criticism to why they broke up, but that can become an argument with some people.
Well, I can remember the thing where Ringo walked out, right? He thought he wasn't being respected anymore. And then they wrote him a note and saying, well, you're the best. Didn't Paul McCartney write him a postcard? You're the best drummer in the world.
Yeah, he did. I think he did it on a postcard. And
right.
Yeah, I can't remember. He signed it some funny name. I can't remember what it was. But,
yeah.
You know, Ringo's not a guy that, and this is kind of why I relate to him so much is, you know, he gets there, he does his job. He's just kind of a fun loving dude and doesn't take himself too seriously. He knows that he's lucky to live the kind of life he does, and, you know, just goes with it. But when you're around the same people for months and years at a time, you know, it can be taxing.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is why we have other cast members. So when I don't want to see someone, I just say, don't put them on the gig.
So how many cast members? That was
a joke.
Yeah, no. Oh, that was a joke. How many cast members are in this whole group? I mean,
we have right now, since we're doing so many double bookings, we have probably about 8 to 12 cast members we can use at any given time.
Oh, wow.
That play in other shows. So, you know, it's, people kind of look at the Beatle tribute world as competitive, but really it's kind of incestuous.
No kidding. Oh, wow.
You just kind of, yeah.
Now, as far as the drumming goes, again, I'm thinking all over the place here. I never asked you this.
That's all right.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm ambidextrous.
Okay.
I'm an artist as well. It's kind of my second hustle that I do.
Wow.
And a lot of my penciling, I do left-handed. And then for whatever reason, when I pick up the paintbrush, I use my right hand.
Really?
But to answer your question, when it comes to drumming, yeah, I did learn left-handed, basically what he does. It was kind of an advantage to learn the way Ringo plays, because, you know, I went from playing the Clash songs, which aren't hard to do, to taking a drum kit, putting the seat as high as it can go, yeah, and the toms pretty low, which might know, that's completely
right,
uncomfortable. It's not comfortable at all. So I'm basically standing there. And then there's a very particular sound he does, especially in the early years with his fills that can only come by leading with the left hand. So I learned all that stuff to play drums. So it's a kind of an advantage there.
I remember I had a drum kit as a kid, but I'm left-handed. So I had the snare drum on the right.
Mm-hmm.
I have the hi-hat on the snare. Yeah, the hi-hat was on the right. My right foot would operate the hi-hat. My left foot would operate the drum. And then I would roll from the right to left, right to left.
That's what we call Mickey Dolan style.
That was Mickey. So, yeah. So why was it so tough for him to have to learn to play right handed?
You know what? I don't even know if it was difficult for him. But yeah, I think he just kind of got a set, put it to set it up to how he saw it, and learned that way.
Interesting.
I don't think a lot of people would think to. It's not like guitar where you have to buy an entire different setup to play left handed, which, by
Paul
the way,
McCartney.
I feel bad for our Paul guys. Most of them are actually right-handed and had to kind of sit down and learn to play everything left-handed comfortable doing it.
I didn't think about that. Wow.
Yep.
So they have to string the guitars back. Didn't he do that? He used to he strung the guitar backwards?
Yeah.
You can't buy a left-handed guitar. You take a right-handed guitar and you just put the strings on backwards.
Oh, no. No, you can buy left-handed guitars.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, huh. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But you can, because I'm left-handed, but I've messed around with the guitar and I cannot play the guitar left-handed.
You should just buy a cheap one, lefty, and it'd probably be a lot easier for you.
And then I don't know, but I was used to. I've learned like the C and the F and the G and the D chord with my hand. You know, left hand. But I don't know. I don't know if I could switch.
You can be a McCartney guy in our group then.
Oh. I'd love to sit in on one song. I can play Lady Madonna on the piano, but I love that song. Oh, I just love everything.
That's a great song. But that's my other recurring nightmare is people want, like, I'm in McCartney's uniform and I'm about to go on stage and I'm like, okay, stop the press. What's going on?
You have Beatle dreams. I love it.
I do, man. Because it's hilarious. Because yeah. I sing naturally more like McCartney than I do Ringo. And, you know, I play bass better than I do drums.
Right.
So it's kind of, I don't even know. Now, I just go where I'm wanted.
Sure. When you guys talk, do you talk with British accents? Obviously you do, right?
On stage, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
you do.
We do. Mm-hmm. We'll go in and out on interviews if we're dressed up. But, yeah, mm-hmm. we do the whole shebang on stage, definitely.
But I have good friends that live in England. We met them on vacation, long story short. And they came and stayed with us, and then we stayed with them. And, oh, my God, they took me to Abbey Road and everything else. Yep. But we always goof around with each other. You know, I try a British accent, and they go, that's not right. You know, did that take a while, too? Every part of your show has got to be authentic. If you're not sounding like, you know, totally British, I'm sure there's British people in the audience that are going to go, oh, my God.
Yeah. Again, and like we were talking about before, especially in Liverpool.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I saw this little bit of trivia, again, being very random here, but the owner of the Colts bought Ringo's drums from 1963. Did you see that? He bought his Ludwig Oyster Black Pearl three-piece drum set, and he paid $2.25 million.
For the kit?
For the kit.
The entire kit? Okay. Because do you know when he bought that?
When he bought it, it said, he didn't buy it in 1963. No, I don't know how recent this was, but I did see it.
Because we know a guy that a private owner that had the drum head from the Sullivan Show.
Ooh.
That era. Uh-huh. He had a bunch of suits. He had a few Shea Stadium jackets, Ringo's crosswalk jacket, and he had this all in his house, which is insane. And we got to see that, so that's pretty crazy.
But how hard was it for you to find, like, the ultimate set that sounded like his?
Well, I think when it comes to drums, you can put those guys in. If you got a Ludwig and it's tuned well, you can put that in a mix. And as long as those guitar tones and bass tones are on point, I think you're good.
Okay.
The actual tone for a live setting, it isn't too difficult. But today, with the equipment we have and the EQs that we've got,
right.
But in the studio, that would be a different story. I know we've done some experimenting that way, because we did the, I don't know, have you heard the Christmas record that we did?
No.
Okay. Do some homework after this.
Yep.
And actually, man, it's already Christmas. It's already almost Christmas time. I cannot believe that.
Yeah, that's right.
I say almost. I know it's a few months.
No, it's
going to seem like a week from now.
That's right.
So we recorded a bunch of songs in... Christmas songs in the style of Beatles.
Okay. Yeah.
And so if you probably, if you search that, you'll probably see a video for Hark, which is in the style of Help, like Hark the Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yep. in I Saw Her Standing There.
Right.
Style.
Right.
Take a listen to it. It's better to listen than to explain.
Yeah. That's got
to
be great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely it's a way to be creative.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun to do. And they had their own Christmas. They used to do a lot of stuff around Christmas time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, and their solo stuff too. So
sure. Now, do you collect a lot of their like albums? I mean, I know vinyl.
Oh
has
yeah,
come
I've
back.
Got. We're huge collectors. All of us.
Wow.
And I know Ron is a huge record collector, but we've got guitar collectors, record collectors. If it exists between all of us, someone's probably got one.
You must have a room.
Besides lost space.
Do you have like rooms in your a room in your house with like all kinds of stuff, with all the memorabilia?
Oh yeah,
yeah. You got
definitely.
All that.
We all have our own man cave that's got that stuff.
Nice.
I can confidently say that. Yeah,
that's great.
I'm looking at it now.
What's your favorite song to drum to on Rubber Soul?
I think my favorite one to do on Rubber Soul would have to be "Think for Yourself," which is a Harrison tune.
Yeah, "Think for Yourself."
It's a little bit of a not a protest song, but you know he's kind of coming into his own.
Yeah,
and you know what, like he says in the song, he's got a lot to say.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the drumming and percussion, there's probably three or four different tracks that Ringo did with just the drums, then the maraca, then the tambourine, and I got to do it all together on stage. So wow. I put those things together, and I've got to use the four brains in my four limbs to put it together, if that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot to it. There really is a lot to
and
it.
And then I have to play What Goes On. That song, it's really fast. It goes boom chop, boom boom chop, boom chop,
sure.
boom chop, and I have to sing on top of that. You know, the other day I saw you.
Right, right, right.
I got to sing that. So all of us that drum in the group, that's not an easy thing to do.
No, and it is not.
You shouldn't realize that it's not an easy thing to do. So if we can do it on stage without you realizing that we're really struggling and barely getting by, then we've done our job.
Yeah, I think drumming and singing along is hard to do, but I also think playing the bass and singing along has got to be really hard to do.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. For me, because I'm a bass player, to some level, but like something like Drive My Car.
Yeah, that's all over the place.
While you're singing.
Yo, how do you do it? I know. I don't know how he did it.
Day Tripper too. You know, two like songs.
Oh yeah,
playing that stuff while you're singing it.
Yeah,
it's not like easy.
Patting your head and rubbing your stomach, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Although
we all do that together before we go on.
He was really almost forced into playing the bass in the beginning, right, McCartney?
Yeah, that's typically what happens with bassists and drummers.
Yeah.
If you can do it, you're the guy that's got to do it, right?
That's true. That's really true. And he's still going strong. God, he's going to do a world tour again, right?
Yeah. Ringo's on tour now.
Ringo, too.
Paul's. I think they got to get together for at least a few shows before they call it a quits. And those two guys, they're still so youthful, and they still just, you can see the love of the game when they're on stage.
Oh, absolutely. Both
of them. They're fantastic. And it's great to see them together even today.
Yeah. Oh, it's.
They make a lot of people happy.
It's a real thrill. It really is. And
yeah,
I was thinking of another piece of tension that might have been in that band, although maybe not spoken. Well, a couple of times I think it came out because McCartney himself is a decent drummer.
Yeah. Yeah. He can play.
And didn't John Lennon one time, because he was always sarcastic, didn't John Lennon make a comment like, actually, Ringo isn't the best drummer in the band? Or something like that.
Yeah.
He ticked everybody
off. Ringo a good drummer? He's not even the best drummer in the band. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a Leninism.
Yeah.
But I would find it hard. I would find it hard to believe that Ringo's heart rate even moved when he heard that. Like, I don't think he's the type of person that
took it seriously.
That would bother. No, okay. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because back in the USSR, McCartney ended up playing the drums on that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you think of any other songs from the Beatle era that he ended up sitting in on the drums? I don't know.
Ballad of John and Yoko.
Okay, that's right. But that's late in the game.
I can't think right now. Yeah.
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 So many more things we could talk
about. That was when he left for a while.
Right, exactly. So the drums.
He's such a character, man.
The drums really, if you were going to sit down tonight and play something of all the instruments you play, the drums really isn't your first instrument then, which is amazing that you're in this band.
I would say now it is. I guess for this gig, I'm just grateful to be there because I don't look anything like Ringo.
I thought you looked a little bit like him.
Ringo. Well, I go into an hour and a half of makeup.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
So that's where I get into Zen mode before I you know, get ready for all the abuse that's about to come.
Oh, that's a good question. So there's like an hour, is there like an hour and a half of makeup for everybody? Is that much makeup?
Not for everyone. Everyone else kind of Adam, our Lennon, who will be at the egg, he just, you know, he throw on a wig and he looks like he could be Lennon's son today.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Artie, our McCartney guy, just kind of naturally has those larger eyes.
Yeah. And he does look like
eyebrows
him.
And
yep.
For me, they, you know, I get a TV movie quality prosthetic nose put on my face.
Okay.
And sideburns and blue, you know, I've got blue contacts and, you know, I go from Eric to Ringo within about an hour and a half.
Oh, cause
that's kind of when I get ready for the show in my head, just kind of listen to music or a documentary, whatever it is. And then get ready to rock.
Well, it's pretty realistic. Cause I did see a picture and say, well, his nose does look like it. But
there's some A B pictures of me out there that you can see how different it actually is, because it's pretty drastic change.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, I got to give it to you. To be in that band, you can't be anything but fantastic. I'm sure they've got to be very, very picky. So congratulations.
Yeah, we put the effort in. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's great. So for everybody, I know this is a podcast and probably somebody's going to hear this 6 months from now, but for those of you who are hearing it this week, it's going to be Friday, September 29th at our place here, The Egg, at 8 p.m. And I don't know if tickets are still available, but I'm sure they're going fast because I know how good you guys are. So I can't wait.
Yeah, just check out thefab4.com. If you're on Facebook, Instagram, mostly we're a lot of people are headed towards Instagram. Fab4 bands, look us up. You can kind of see backstage stuff. What we do on the road.
Has McCartney, one more question, or Ringo, do they know who, they must know who you are. I mean, have you ever had?
I know know who we are. I'm sure I've heard, I know that they are aware of the Christmas tunes that I mentioned before. I know that I did a motion capture session for the Cirque du Soleil Love show.
Really? Oh, we saw that in Vegas. What does that mean? So, motion capture.
The motion capture meaning like CGI.
Yeah.
What they do for fully CGI characters nowadays is they get a live body, put you in a suit that has dots all over it, and they put the dots all over your face.
Yeah.
And that basically transfers to motion on a screen.
Gotcha.
Now, this is just kind of like the short story. And they can pretty much make you any character that they want. So basically, we did that for the Beatles Rock Band game.
Wow!
Years back.
No kidding. Boy, that's a tribute to you guys too.
It's kind of trippy. And then we actually started incorporating that into our Rubber Soul show. So we're playing to the Beatles, but also playing to us on stage. Yeah, it gets a little confusing, but. Going back to the initial question, I know he had to sign off on my body and the way I play or something like that. So, yeah, whenever you see Ringo on the screen at the Vegas show, a lot of times it's me.
Wow. And actually, that's what some artists are complaining.
A few of the other guys as well.
Actors are complaining about now, you know, that they can digitize the person's voice and digitize the person's body and use them forever. So you should be getting royalties. Yeah. I'm going to be your agent.
Yeah, this was way before that, but AI is a little different, but it's getting scary out there.
I know, it's really
with,
scary
what they can with all the deep fakes and all the weird stuff. And pretty much at some point within the next 10 years we'll probably just be sitting in a room backstage while artificial intelligent figures are on stage.
I know, it's coming.
Being the Beatles.
That's
I don't
right.
know, man.
Well, I did
we're
like
living,
the thing
we're that, living out the Terminator.
I did like the one thing that McCartney did in his concert where he has John Lennon on screen and they sing together.
That is great. That's fantastic.
That was really well done. Yeah. That's amazing. Yep.
You know, we all got it spoiled on social media and YouTube, you know, that whole moment in the show. But either way, I mean, just I can watch that 100 times over and it's still special.
Well, Eric, fantastic. I don't want to hold you any longer. Thank you so much for being part of this and really good luck. Good luck Friday night here.
All right, Richie. Thanks for having me, my friend.
Thank you. And best of luck to you. Thanks again.
Check out the website at hireRichie.com. He is on Facebook at Ricky Phillips and Twitter at RyamandRichie.
Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and leave a comment. He reads them in bed. It makes him very happy.
Top Talent!